I feel like I just saw something I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, that, okay.
Oh, no. I can't wait to erase it from my memory. In runner-up, we got Kasumi. People are all weird one way or another.
Yeah? Yeah, no. I was going to go for, is a big-boobed lady going to solve world peace?
Oh, from the first episode, yeah.
Oh, man.
Is this dubbed? Is this show dubbed at all? I am kind of curious.
I wouldn't doubt it. But you know, I guess I'll look up. We're doing this live on the podcast, yeah, people.
Riveting. Oh,
well, I guess it is.
Unless those are fake.
You know what? People do. Fake oh my games. God, Zoro. Well, Zoro's in this.
Yeah, remember when Zoro fought Hanako?
Oh, I wish also the Us of Us would get a dub.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's real.
Okay, well. You know, you live and you learn.
Because, you know, Reddit is obviously 100% always accurate.
Yeah.
Wrong.
It's the best source of information, obviously.
Welcome, folks, to Spot 96, Asobi Asobase.
Yes.
As always, it's Jeffrey Excellence joined with me.
It is I, Ophi.
No other names needed.
I'm not going to try to list them all off.
You know, 96 in, you kind of get it gets worn out.
It's like, I'm just Ophi.
It's, oh yeah, it's me. D-O-double-G.
The hell? Oh, okay. I was like,
that's not right.
I know.
Last time we covered Revenge of the Sith.
Jesus Christ.
Any lingering thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm just always...
You underestimate my power.
I'm just always thinking about this movie, you know? Just always in the background.
Recently, to be like, honest with you.
It's like, it's just so much. It's not even like, oh, I see something that reminds me of a quote.
Randomly
shows
up in your
mind. Just think of, it's like, oh no, I'm thinking of two, or it's like impossible. That must be so problem with the archives. That's two. But just
the archives are never current.
Oh yeah, something like that. Or the fucking, oh Jesus. Oh, ooh. That sounds like a dog.
Yeah, trying to get a surprise third guest.
Oh, there he is. And joining us today, special guest, Barkley.
Who has just left the room.
Oh, well. Get him one day. But yeah, no, I don't know. I guess you should watch it. You should watch all the prequels. Why not? You have nothing to lose. Maybe, except for, I guess, like 7 hours or whatever.
Look, I'm not, that's...
Oh, Barkley didn't like
that. No, he didn't. But that's saying it in the context that they're all a waste of time. I disagree. I think maybe like 40 minutes of each movie might be, if I had to average it, a waste of time.
It's only
120. So it's only 2 hours a waste of your time.
You know what? I guess when you put it like that way, yeah, sure.
Or at least watch the last one.
You know what?
I think that'll basically just sum it up.
Honestly, I don't even know. But yeah, you know what? Do you really even need the context of the first two? I don't know. Like, what do you gain?
Not really.
Because, you know, I'm usually the type of person that it's like, I'm not just going to jump into, like, one of the sequels. I want to do something from the beginning, even if, you know,
it's
maybe...
It's not as good.
Maybe the newer ones are more recommended because they're actually good. But, like, oh man, I don't know if you gain... Nothing of value is lost if you just skip to... Episode 3, honestly, because I think it's the most fun one to just laugh at.
Lavender? Some enjoyable stuff.
Stuff. It's okay. But anyway, today we're not talking about Episode 3 anymore, or Star Wars.
We're talking about another shitty
I guess they did make their own Star Wars movie. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
I guess the poster was...
It was like the first...
New Hope.
Yeah.
So I don't know if... I was about to say it's more like Star Trek. Was like, no, they...
I think the poster is like Star Wars, but I think...
The plot line
Was Star
closer
Trek.
Closer to Star Trek, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Asobi Asobase, which Asobi means playtime. And Asobase means to make someone play? If this...
Okay, just type into... Wait, go back. I am just kind of curious. Is this a male or a female?
I don't know. Rin Suzukawa. My anime list? Unknown member favorites?
Oh my fucking god.
This is kind of it.
Because, like, Rin Suzukawa is kind of like... It's not clear in the notion if it's a man or a woman. I'm just so curious whether or not a man or a woman wrote this series.
Yeah,
And if you ever watch this show, folks, which you should, you'll understand why I'm curious.
Just type
boy or girl question mark.
God damn it. Maybe I'll type in there.
That makes more sense.
Female?
Oh, okay.
Annie, if I'm trusting anniedb.net, which this is a site people use.
Sounds sus.
Okay.
But she has a good sense of humor. Woman after my own heart. All right. What do we got? What was I going to say?
I don't know. Quick overview. it's a bunch of middle school girls being shitty about a lot
super
of things.
Over the top slapstick humor, yes.
Yes. So I think when you first pitched it to me when I saw it, it did remind me. I did have to compare it to Nichijou because we did do that.
Yeah.
But like to me, I think quick overview, it is different. It's very different from Nichijou.
I think it's definitely more vulgar.
Oh, yeah.
And also like Nichijou, okay, I will say in the sense that, like, both do play up animation for certain scenes. I think Nichijou is stronger at that. But I will say for the artwork, I think Nichijou, you kind of see it and you could tell, like, what the general gist of the show is going to be. Mm-hmm. I feel like a strong part of the humor in Asobi Asobase, I'm just going to say Asobi.
That's fine.
But for Asobi is... The artwork kind of just entails it's going to be a generic shoujo manga.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fact that the plot, or rather the story, I guess, or the episodes is the opposite of that, I think it further enhances the humor of the situations.
Yeah, well, maybe want to get right into maybe our first real theme. I guess our first joke theme is pastime, a.k.a. also
and we're not saying
fun.
Joke because, you know, we didn't take this seriously, folks. So it's like, just more like...
I mean, it is very similar to Nichijou, where it is like a slice of life.
Yeah,
like each it's based on a manga, and I'm pretty. It's probably
really
every
like a main plot to follow.
Yeah, it's like little snippets of just various things,
collected stories.
Yeah, I guess in the beginning we got to establish. Okay, why are these girls in
together? Because
you know, and so we got that part, but then it just kind of goes into various play situations. And honestly, sometimes I'm like, I forget that, oh yeah, they're supposed to be like the game club, basically like a games club. But I'm sometimes just like, we're just doing whatever. We're just going to steal documents from the
school.
Fucking hell. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, getting into maybe more, what you were going into, more than meets the eye, right?
Yeah, I for these types of shows, depending on what they are exactly, like the theme, whether or not there's a strong theme, it really doesn't matter. I think especially that's the case for Asobi. It's just more like enjoying the characters and the humor. And I think if it did for some reason have an overarching narrative, I think it just wouldn't make any sense or some sort of, you know, moral of the story. It's just kind of more like chaos that you watch and you enjoy. But I do think a common occurrence or a common theme that does happen that they play off of is... that there's always more to meets the eye than what people see with a lot of the characters, actually. If anything, that's like a lot of the source of the humor for these characters. Like, for example, Olivia is the easiest one. She looks... Yeah. I think she's not Japanese at all, right? She's like full...
I think... So she is the child of... I think they say American, straight up Americans.
Yeah, like two Americans.
But,
she's not like Asian
like,
at all.
Yeah,
right?
And like DNA... What's the word for that? Genetically?
Ethnically-wise?
Yeah, ethnically she is like not Japanese, but she grew up in Japan.
And only knows how to speak
And she's
Japanese.
Got god-awful English.
Yeah,
despite what you would think, even though her name's Olivia,
and
she has
looks
blonde
like
hair.
You know, yeah, no, and she's a blonde girl with blue eyes. That's or another character, Fujiwara, who I thought it was funny because they drew her like in the old Japanese, it's not comics, old Japanese, like
I just say art.
Yeah,
I just say art. Yeah,
they drew her stereotypically like that, but the joke there, or rather the illusion is that you think she'd be good at classical literature because she looks like a classic Japanese woman, but no, she's terrible at classic literature. Or, you know, one of the prettiest girls at school, it's an all-girls school, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to be, is Aozara. But, you know, there's a rumor going around, or rather there's a narrative floating around that it's actually a boy pretending to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what a lot of the humor is based on, subverting the expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. And then going into the tone, I mean, as we said, this is a hard comedy. Lots of fairly lighthearted.
Not really much room for anything else.
There are really nice heartwarming moments. I remember where they actually, I think it was, and this is a notable moment thing, but I forget.
Was it when they found out Olivia can't speak English?
I guess there was that, where they're like,
she admitted to it.
They're like, yeah, we still want to be friends with you. But I'm thinking like when they find out that she has quote unquote spicy armpits and they treat it like it's like, she's like, this is a, if they know about this, they're going to hate me again. And they're like, oh, hey, it's okay. No matter, like, we still like you despite your body odor.
And that wasn't even what they were taught. That's not even
that wasn't even part of the thing, but that was just randomly like, okay, like it's a very silly situation, but you know, that just shows that that's a really nice friendship.
Oh, I wonder if that's like meant to be a stereotype in the sense that American people smell bad or not. I don't know.
Huh, I didn't think about it like that, but you know what? I could see it.
Not sure.
Hold on, but wait, her brother looks... Oh, I guess I'm just saying he looks Japanese because he has black hair.
Yeah, he has, like, the long black hair, but then he has, like, the
He's a stereotypical otaku.
Yeah, but he lives in Japan.
Oh, I guess that too, right? Yeah, because they were like, oh my god, Olivia's brother, he's going to be so fucking hot.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Hanukkah's like, oh, I can't wait to have 5 children with him.
Out comes like, I'm not really into like shaming people for their appearance.
Oh no,
but he wasn't Zac Efron. Let's put it like
that. Yeah.
He wasn't no Zac Efron.
Oh, okay. But anyway, yeah, maybe getting into some of these characters and arcs.
Well, I know we alluded to it, but I just want to say definitively that this is not really, it's a lighthearted show.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not really going to find much drama. Not saying certain scenarios can't have a level of intensity or some sort of tense moments, but it's not meant to be like stressful or thriller.
Oh, no.
But I think if they did have that in this show, it would take away from it. It would just be more distracting. So I appreciate what they did here. There's a reason why I keep coming back to this show, is because the humor is well written.
Yeah, can agree with you on that. Okay, getting into some of the characters and arcs, we actually have a lot of side characters.
I think that kind of is a testament to the writing, right? Because like, this isn't a particularly deep story in the sense of narrative, but you remember all the characters for their small moments because the humor that of which they partake or they exude just makes you remember. No, like, at least you remember the moment, if not just the characters. Mm-hmm. So
I guess I started out with Maeda, but honestly, I feel like he might be the GOAT. So maybe we should. No, I guess
he's already there. Let's go.
Yeah. So Maeda is Hanako, one of the main girls, is butler, but she's like, she's like, what is he? There's a couple like, what the why does he live with us again? What does he do?
Remember when he explained his story, his backstory?
But it's like, he didn't say it was his backstory, but
he said it's like, oh, let me tell you a story that
oh
I
my
heard,
God.
But it's really just his whole backstory. He was just he was a broke college student that got kidnapped by aliens, and when they anal probed him, they left a laser in his asshole.
You know,
and that's a shooting laser, not a working laser.
Oh no, it works. Or no,
it shoots. For sure.
It shoots and works.
That has to
fuck
work.
It hell. Yeah, no. So he's a butler, and he's just always there to support Hanako. Sometimes too much.
Yeah,
a lot of times too much.
A lot of times too much. Oh god, the fucking the boyfriend droid, and it was programmed like. The boyfriend droid asked Hanako, has Auntie Flo visited you this month? Oh my god.
You know?
It's programmed with English sayings your grandfather.
So basically, and we'll get into Hanako herself, but her family, she's not the only weird person. She's not the only.
The apple doesn't fall far from
it. It really does not. But yeah, Maeda, I think comedically, he's usually like the straight man. Like he's not.
It's like straight man. But he has an absurd context.
Yeah. But he just does it casually.
He doesn't say it. Yeah, it's subtle. It's subtle. He doesn't say it to be funny, but what he's saying is absurd.
Yeah,
but he treats it as if it's.
He treats it very seriously, which works out really well.
Like when he says, Shogi is just firing lasers out of your ass.
Yeah.
And then The only reason he came up with, well, the reason why he came up with that is because he can fire lasers. That's what he can do.
He's like, I gotta come up with something out of my ass.
Because he simply couldn't say no to. Dude, what if it was just one big analogy of like adults, you know, don't want to show their kids
see what happens.
So they got to pull something out of their ass, sometimes quite literally.
And then you just see how they turn out, and they're fucking insane. But anyway, we'll get to her. I think we covered Maeda pretty good. He's a pretty cool character. He's pretty funny.
Goblin times Goblin X Dwarf.
Oh, I forgot about that one. You know, I mean, okay.
I wish I could forget about that one.
Anyway, moving on to some of the teachers. I can really only think of there's two. There's the manly looking one.
The manly looking one.
The one that's like you can't have makeup on.
Right. There's her. Yeah, the swimming teacher. Swimming coach or whatever.
But yeah, a couple of them.
I forgot about that one.
So we got her, and then there was
before you move on, my favorite moment with that specific, I don't even know that teacher's name, with that teacher idea. Was Hanako was getting bad makeup from the girls.
Yeah.
And then the manly looking teacher saw her and thought she was getting beat up. And then how they drew the art imagery of both of them being shocked was hilarious to me.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And obviously accompanied with the voice actresses' work there, mm-hmm. but
yeah. So we have her, and then we have the teacher who's actually the
English teacher. Or the club supervisor.
I'm thinking the club supervisor.
She is the English teacher too, though.
Oh, she is? Okay. Yeah, she's there. She had the baby that wasn't her baby. That baby.
She just wants to get married.
She's one of those characters.
Hey, you know, it's a character stereotype for a reason because it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She's X age and she feels like her friends are getting married and she's like, when is it gonna happen for me? But I'm afraid of men. I've only been to all girls schools, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah. And then we have the guy who thought he was looking up girls pee, which Jesus.
What is that? Oh, I think he teaches classical literature.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's probably like one of the highlights of the whole show.
Favorite moment with it. Yeah. He was disappointed it wasn't
because he thinks he. My favorite part was when he
quoted Conan.
Yeah, he quoted Conan. He's like, shit. Like,
when you're unsure, you must. What was it? When you're unsure, you must investigate.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I was gonna say before that.
No, I think my favorite moment is when they're doing the evil Sogoroku, and they all have to run up to him and do the impressions.
And
he breaks his back. He's like, that's not how you take a Kamehameha.
That was a fucking painful game.
Why would just your spine twist?
I don't know. Arga, didn't he do the Yamcha pose, or was that a different thing? I just remember seeing something similar to Yamcha.
No, he literally just twisted his back.
Okay. Because I just remember, I have in my notes Yamcha pose. I forget when that was. I didn't write enough context around it, but I guess that happened.
I can't remember a Yamcha pose, but...
Okay.
You're talking about the one when he gets blown up by the Cyberman?
Maybe. Yeah.
Like when he's on the ground?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's something similar to that, but whatever.
It's close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Anyway,
let's get to the fellow students.
That's pretty good. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Which, you know, I think about it, I think maybe one of the main reasons I think they're so memorable probably is because they only show up for like one or two segments.
But I think that's a testament to the writing, you know?
Yeah, like we can just focus.
You see a character in another show for like one or two segments, like obligatory best friend character. You just forget what the
name would be
is.
Like one or two segments like every episode, but here it's like, okay, this is like their episode.
Yeah.
So I think that helps with keeping.
Wow, dude, that's a good insight. If anything, I wish I put that on the key directing. Like, that's actually a really smart way that they feature their characters. Like, it's not an episode per se. It's not the entire runtime, but it's like a third of the episode runtime.
This is their spotlight.
And they're now that you mentioned it, normally they're introduced in like a segment before, and then they get expounded further upon. That's actually a smart way that they. I don't know if the manga is how they directed that, but it was a smart way that they had the anime. Introduce the characters. Yeah. That's a good observation.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Really I am very smart. Yeah. I did go to college. That's correct.
These glasses aren't for show.
The glasses that are in our thumbnail, they're Jesus. And we haven't updated in like 3 years. Oh no. Why would we ever?
Why fix what isn't broken?
It really isn't. But anyway, we're going lots of them. We have the girl who everyone thinks might be a male. What is her name? We got names here. Owl. Owl Zora, yeah.
Zora, yeah, there you go.
Oh, and I just remembered, yeah, and then when Kasumi, like, just...
if he has a penis.
Kasumi just...
screaming about it.
She's fucking obsessed. Oh, my God. Because, you know, it's...
Remember when she was, like, having her moment of reflection when she's laying down? She's like, I'm barreling towards him, hoping that he jumps up and I could see his penis. Mom and Dad, I'm sorry for like, being blind.
You know, it's just a rough time growing up when you're trying to figure things out.
That's
and you're
true.
Just,
middle school is a hard time.
It was
a young person's aging process.
It sure was something. but yeah, we got them. Fujiwara, just as we said.
Look, this show obviously takes place in the real world, but the absurdity of the situations are something you would not see in your everyday life, and I think that also adds to the humor.
Yeah. And actually, I think what I didn't put here were the occult members.
Oh, so, that's a good one.
No, I really like it, because I think another thing, too, because you think the first girl... Oh, God, what the fuck was her name? What was her name? Oh, fuck.
Olivia's brother just says Olivia's brother.
I don't think he had a name.
An otaku with two PhDs and what?
Shit, where... Oh, Oka?
Yeah.
So, because, you know, you think, oh, no. And they're, of course, super scared of her. But, like, she actually just wants... She was just kind of lonely because everyone in her club left.
Yeah, her only... Yeah.
And then, yeah, the only other member, Agrippa, was...
Had to get hemorrhoid surgery or something.
And another thing, like, oh, she thought... Oh, she got teleported away, but she was just... Yeah, she didn't want to tell them. But I actually really think, yeah, the...
Subverting
another subversion of the expectation,
or rather, like, there's more to the stereotype, or more to than whatever prejudice their eyes,
because like at the end of the day, like they were just like friends, like she just really cared about her friend, and like, oh, that's really sweet.
Sure, she's
too.
A little creepy, but she's a nice girl,
And then they made cookies together, and
a fucking rat stuck in a concrete wall,
you know, the class, not only the class. No, I think the thing about that scene was the grandma when she gave him the thing, and the grandma was also a witch.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just a thing.
It runs in the family.
You know, it's not just a phase, Mom.
This is me.
And then, oh yeah, that's the Stugo president, the poor, that poor, poor girl. The pain and hell she went through.
Okay, so I know I'm skipping ahead, but I think my absolute favorite scene, or rather a chapter or segment, I think it's called content, like each episode bit, it's content. Okay. My absolute favorite content was when it was the president and the vice president.
Yeah, that's whole, man.
So the Stuko president went out to do whatever business, and the vice president was left, and all three past club members wanted to go harass her.
Yeah, basically.
So she had to get rescued by the Stuko president, and like, I think that scene alone perfectly summarizes the show, especially because like when the Stuko president walks in, you see Maeda's asshole burned out through the laser. Then you have the otaku guy breathing hard, and the only thing the president girl could say is like, "Is this hell on earth?"
Yeah.
or something like that.
You know, this is. Oh man, no, that was a great one too. Oh my God, and the corpse and the fucking hell.
Okay, so the only question, look, this isn't one of those stories where even if there are plot hole questions, like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
They don't matter. But why does the president have a ski mask in her office?
And I fucking love that scene too, because it's like implied, like
the
like,
vice president has seen this before.
She's like, oh, of course, of course, the president's ski mask. Correct. Yes.
Like,
thank
she's not
you.
Even like thinking like, why is there a ski mask? It's like, the context, you know, that she treats it like a normal situation.
Because even when she's not there, the Stuko president is the most reliable person in the school. That's why. Actually, I really also love the scene where she's just trying so hard to go to the boys' school. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm such a slut. Oh my God. It's like, fucking hell. She said that. That's what she's saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, that's,
I know.
That's not verbatim, but it is paraphrase, and that is the verbiage that
which I guess
used.
Does make me kind of feel weird. I'm pretty sure they're all supposed to be in middle school.
Yeah, no, they're all definitely.
I mean, hey, you know, you're starting the field that kind of way.
Well, you know, school, it's like, so, damn puberty.
You know?
My goddamn puberty, brother. I'll tell you what.
Everything's a fucking Vince impression. Goddamn.
Okay, that wasn't meant to be Vince, but that's just my
I feel like
dick around voice.
I feel like I just think of
merged.
I just think of Vince whenever, hey, pal.
God damn, pal. There you go. That's more of a...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That one's more of a Vince.
Let's see. Do I have any of the other... And I think I mentioned all the ones... all the characters I wanted to go through. So I think maybe it's time to go through...
The main three.
Ugh.
Starting with Spicy. And not spicy in, like...
A good way, apparently.
Well, not spicy in the... Oh man, this girl put on some spicy pictures on Instagram or something. Spicy in, like, you know, Hanako smelled Olivia's armpits and yelled Aquaprene sweat glands.
Or the baby smelled her armpits.
Yelled spicy.
Fuck.
That fucking baby.
God, that baby. Oh.
That fucking baby, dude.
You know, anyway. All right.
Said Hanako's got a flat chest.
Flat, though. Right, I think that's what he said. But yeah, you know, getting into Hanako. Getting into Olivia, yeah, she, as we said, she's the supposed to be Gaijin, American Jin, whatever Jin. But really, she's basically a Japanese girl that, you know, everyone thinks is...
can speak English.
And actually, I kind of do like how they brought that back in, because it started off with Kasumi, and that's how the group was formed. Kasumi wanted to learn English, and Olivia's like, oh, hey, and then she was doing it as a joke, pretending to be a foreigner.
Do you remember the original? It was like... during class introductions, Olivia just was really nervous, so her Japanese was broken. So they thought, oh, she's American. Oh, English. I mean, of course her Japanese is.
But then she kept it up because it's like...
She kept it up because she wanted to fuck with Hanako.
So I guess everyone's at fault here, really. Yeah. But yeah, no, and I feel like she's like fairly normal in terms of... you know what I think? I feel like she's very enthusiastic about things that you wouldn't expect a... Like middle school girl, wrestling? Yeah, like that, or the germ game that she really got into, even though it's kind of gross to know that there's so much black fungus. Or I would say her older brother, but you know, even if he's
she's enamored with her older brother, and her older brother's
he's kind of weird, but you know what, I'm sure he's like actually like a nice like guy to her, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'd like to think so.
I think so, but also, like,
but
the other standards of a human being, I don't know. It's like kind of 2 PhDs in what?
in
Wombo and Mumbo?
I was going to say, like, in Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon.
There you go.
I mean, hey, you can... I guess, I don't know. Okay, it's probably not sustainable to...
Would be a professional Pokemon TCG
I mean, they do have, like, prizes, I don't think there's enough for you to...
Live...
Yeah, probably not.
Be a cool hobby, I guess.
One of these days.
What are the rules to the Pokemon TCG?
Oh, I'm going to tell you? No, I actually got into it a couple years ago. Yo, we got cards!
If you could summarize it in 20 words or less.
Okay, it's kind of...
you're already wasting words.
the games, but with cards.
Wow.
Because it's kind of like 6-on-6. Well, you have kind of... It simulates that... Shut up.
Already,
I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm failing. I'm fucking choking here. I can't do it.
Choke artist.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, but yeah, no, she's a fun
character. But I know, like we said, she's one of those characters that's a victim of the. Well, actually, I guess they all kind of all the characters hide more. Or the reason why I wanted to say the quote where I think it's Hanako. Tells Kasumi that everyone's a little weird, or there's more to everyone than what they appear to be. More to meet the eyes, like, especially with the main three girls, you know. Olivia, the easiest tell from that is that she's American. She obviously speaks English when her English is, like, terrible.
Mm.
You know,
she got a 2.
Yeah.
Something. Like,
oh, no. Kasumi got the 2, but.
Oh, okay.
Olivia.
Probably got, like, 4. I don't know.
One of my favorite Olivia scenes. It's like she's trying to teach Kasumi English, and she goes with the "give me chocolate." And she, you know, Olivia's trying to keep up the line. She's like, "Americans say this all the time,
You know, because have you seen an American? Have you seen what we look like? Like, come on,
do we need more." But even Kasumi points out is like, I don't think Americans every day say "give me chocolate." Isn't that what the Japanese said to the American boy? She even points out, and Olivia tries to say the bullshit like, "What she said? Like, oh, it's just a cultural thing."
Yeah, everything is
clearly
just,
not.
Everything's just cultural.
And then moving on to, you know, more than meets the eye is like Kasumi. if anything, she's more the purveyor of the, what's it called, of the theme, because she assumes of Olivia, you know, and obviously there's stuff that Kasumi is kind of hiding, right? Like her boys fiction.
Remember? Her, that was a weird sound to make. But yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that website?
The website?
You know that, no, like, you know that website where people write their own...
Fanfiction.net?
Yeah, her fanfiction.net story.
Yeah. Just like
Goblin times Dwarf?
No. Thinking of... Fuck, which girl was it in... Oh, my... Holy shit.
Oh, that's your phone.
It's my tablet.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Yeah, I'll quiet it. Come on, shut up. Sound. Mute. Okay.
There we go. Try that again. All right.
Oh, I can actually just take a note. 31 minutes. Sure, I'll find it later. 31 minutes.
Just don't forget to edit it.
Okay. Sorry.
It's all good.
What were we saying?
Just look at your recommended YouTubes.
Yeah, just watching some. Anyway. Oh, yeah, Kasumi. Because I feel like out of the three of them, she's probably like the least like aggressively terrible. But she
except for when she's being aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, but then sometimes I wouldn't say randomly. I feel like I think it's like whenever they like play a game.
It's coerced.
Because I think isn't the first scene of the show like showing
sticking her fingers in Olivia's nose? Yeah.
But wasn't it like a scene where it was like her like being beaten? Beaten by her older sister, and I guess that kind of instilled like I need to be good at things or else I'm like.
If anything, I think that. I think Kasumi, like, it was a very short arc, so much so that it might have just gone over most people's heads, but I think Kasumi had the idea that playing such games aren't fun, because her older sister was just bullying the shit out of her with those games to make her do stuff. But I think, if anything, her passion for those silly fun games got reignited with the help of Olivia and Hanako, so much so that Kasumi doesn't want to lose Olivia to whatever club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So otherwise she'll be stuck with melted face Hanako all the time.
Oh, God.
I think the miscommunication, too, of them, like, because Olivia wants to be able to just speak Japanese normally. Yeah. But Hanako wasn't on the same page, just, like, trying to prevent that actively. I thought that was a good source of humor, too.
Just lots of just crossfire. Just lots of...
Lots of friendly fire.
Actually, not saying that. I wonder if it's like she through her older sister, like just beating the shit out of her games. Maybe it's like she internalized like the only way I cannot be crushed. I can play these games is to just win. Like absolutely, like I gotta dominate.
Like when she was thumb wrestling.
Yeah, or else it's like I'm just gonna, you know, be fucking depressed again, because that's I don't want to ever be a stupid loser ever again, because that's the way she felt. I don't know, maybe that's still
I think that's a different anime.
Maybe I'm doing too much
that's a different show, I think.
Doing too much armchair psychologist. It's like, yeah, just getting your ass beat by your older sister just made you a fucking psychopath.
I'm sure that happens.
Jesus Christ.
All right, well, let's move on to...
Oh, yeah, and she also has the biggest breasts, I guess. which will be relevant because we're about to talk about Hanako.
Who?
Who is probably the worst. But she is my favorite, though, because she is the worst.
They definitely play with her artwork the most.
Yeah, she's definitely lots of...
She's expressive.
It's okay. Anytime any of them get like the human, like the stupid human teeth, like
when they're like super expressive.
Oh fuck! It's just
that's another. Makes that's my another
fucking skin crawl.
That's another great thing.
I guess in a good way.
The humor in this show is like when it's time for the artwork to be super eerily and creepily descriptive, they do so. But remember when Kasumi, I know I said it earlier, but Kasumi caught Hanako reading Kasumi's fan fiction. Yeah. That's the word. Fanfiction.net. Yeah, of course. But then Kasumi hits her with the intimidating, did you read it? So Hanako has to retort with the stupid grin, no. Norp.
God damn.
And they made it like super detailed when they drew the teeth.
So to describe Hanako... I feel like, okay, she's the best in school. I remember that.
She's second best.
Yeah. She's basically obsessed with being a popular girl.
She's really shitty at
but,
it.
But she's actually really bad at it. Yeah. She's really jealous of girls who have like boyfriends and shit. And like every she goes into like a puritanical. It's like, oh, what are you? We're not a bunch of sluts, are we? Just come on. You wouldn't wear makeup and shit.
But then when she has the chance to wear makeup, yeah, but then she's like, oh my.
See, like once again, everyone has two different sides. It's like she has a side of her that's like, fuck these bitches, and then it's I want to be them.
it's like Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. I've actually never seen.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, I know. Apparently
it's an American classic.
Apparently one of the defining works of our generation.
It's definitely timely for the 2000s.
Okay.
Like White Chicks.
I believe it. I haven't seen White Chicks either.
Oh, that's... You're missing out on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's an American classic. Another one.
Okay. I'll get it. I'll get to it eventually. Like all things. Like
two different movies.
Like all these Steam games that I got.
Anyway. You got around to.
But yeah, Hanako. And like, yeah, she's just... half the time, she's like kind of dumb.
She's naive.
She's very naive.
Yeah.
But then there's also the side of her that's like the schemer that's always thinking about or just like thinking negatively about the world and about her life.
About her lot in life.
And like
how she wasn't quote unquote blessed with
Yeah, she's a have not.
Yeah, she's a have not. Those who have breasts and those who have not.
Okay. Kasumi will never learn what it's like to be. But then Kasumi's like, oh, but you have so much more choice to wear bras. And then instantly she's like, oh, I guess you're right.
And it's like, oh, wait.
Fuck.
You're a double A. Look.
What a roller coaster.
Believe it or not, I don't wear a lot of bras. So, like, I didn't quite understand, but I think the brilliance of the writing is that they explain it enough that it not so much that it's overbearing and boring, but no. They kind of explain the humor enough that even us as boys can understand the humor that's going on here, even though it's female centered in that specific
because you think double A is more
more
than
letters
A?
Is supposed to be more, right? But apparently not.
But yeah, that was yeah, I feel like she's probably the most chaotic. Oh yeah, and like her Harajuku fashion.
Oh, yeah, when she was, like, cosplaying or whatever.
But then, like, there's another scene where they go out shopping and she buys another stupid outfit, but that one she has a problem with because she thinks...
Well, I think she learned her lesson and then was looking at it afterwards and was like, wait a second.
It's like, wow, why does this look way worse than when it was in... when the fucking lady was selling it
and
to
me? That's a real thing,
that's
right?
Real,
yeah.
Like, you know, that's some...
You see something in the store, like, oh, this is kind of cool. Yeah. You take it home, you're like, oh
God.
This is kind of shit.
It's like, very... It's like super outlandish, crazy, and like maybe
it
like
was
in
a
the
unicorn.
Maybe like in the store where it fits with the all the other crazy
makes
outlandish
sense.
But then you go at home and you're like, oh my God,
why is this my closet?
Who am I?
The duality of man.
Oh yeah. Anyway, okay, so I think we've covered most of them. I don't know if anyone I guess they all go through the arc of like when Olivia learning to be accepted by them for not being actual good at English and stuff, but like I don't know, can you think of any character arcs any of them go through?
Well, like I said, they're more of a small payoff than they are,
yeah,
because like, that's not the kind of show this is. It's more centered on like the absurdity of the situations or the humor of it, plus further exemplified or rather enhanced with the artwork and sound effects, which we'll get into. But I think as far as Hanako, I don't think any of the themes really, because like I don't think anyone really.
Well, I guess
anyone has any presumptions about her that are necessarily like way off base.
I guess they were really surprised when she just casually drops, "Oh yeah, I'm fucking rich as shit."
Yeah,
because I guess she doesn't look like a rich girl, you know? Because she's like fairly plain looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't really stand out much.
Has a long twin tails.
Mm.
And then, you know, like no one assumes she's. I mean, like she's a smart girl, but. Everyone could tell, even the popular girls in the tennis club didn't peg her as a popular girl, so they kind of saw through that, and then...
Or I guess maybe, because she was playing, she was only playing tennis to...
So you could be a popular girl.
So I guess she was pretending
to... But it was a catch-22, if I'm using that term correctly, you know? Popular girls are popular before they join.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, thinking into notable moments, we already asked the question, the one question you have.
Is it, can you think of anything? Nothing of importance.
Nothing that I care enough about. Yeah, getting into notable moments.
So many of them. I don't know if we'll cover them all, but we'll get through the ones that we really want to mention.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're out of here, the Olivia bot, but I get, like, oh my god. Yeah, because I think, yeah, because Olivia was volunteered to, like, she didn't volunteer herself to be in the English-speaking competition.
Her classmates just pegged her because, yeah, you know, that's, she's a gaijin.
Yeah, yeah, and then, you know, the robot just starts saying stuff.
And then, then the English teacher tries to tell the robot, like, oh, we can teach you proper English so you can, you know, win the competition. And then the robot gains sentience and violates one of Asimov's laws of robotics and continues to assault the, or goes on to assault the teacher and says, I want to speak bad language.
It's like, yeah, basically just cussing up a storm, saying all kinds of crazy shit.
Fuck.
Fuck, shit. Like, sex, probably. I don't remember.
No, I think, like, one of the robot's lines is, I want to do a sex with a crazy man last night. Like, this is not a kid-friendly show.
I would not call this kid-friendly. Even if, like, again, it's only, like, a couple scenes, but those scenes go kind of...
to not be a PG show.
I would not show this a younger child. But anyway, except the babysitting in the last episode, that was pretty good. No, oh my god, no, the fucking when Hanako holds the baby and she's just like, oh my god, he smells so good.
Oh yeah, she's talking like a creepy old guy.
Like, oh, what the fuck? It's like, oh, the smell of pee and mother's milk. I'm gonna get a high from this. I'm like, fuck.
What?
You know, she said that.
No, I know. I know.
I think that was my other quote.
Remember when she was doing the liposuction of the breast of Kasumi's breast?
Oh, no.
And then.
God damn.
And then, like, Hanako messed around too much. It's like, oh my god. Spittle came out. Yeah, this show's wild, guys. This show is, like, legitimately wild.
It really is. Let's see. What
like,
else?
Not in the perverse way. It's just more like.
Oh, yeah, not really, no.
It's more of in the absurd situation type of way. Mm. Like, they're saying off base, out of pocket things.
Mm.
But this is all stuff people could do, like, on their own. I think that's kind of the charm of the show, is like.
Except for the laser part. Probably don't have
a
bow.
Disagree.
Maybe one day.
No, but, you know, depending on the group of friends that you surround yourself with, like, you might have some crazy antics and say some dumb shit like this.
Yeah, I could see that. Actually, another thing that we don't have here I want to quickly mention is when they're trying to steal the documents. What was it? Was it Azora who was like, oh, steal them for me?
The banana. Yeah, yeah.
Because, why? Why did they agree to it? I think was there a reason?
I think it's because... I can't remember if it's because she told them that there's something about them. The past club in there. And it turns out like half of it was about the past club.
I know, oh yeah, that was a good one.
Or if it was just because... what's it called? God, the past club successfully stole the book and then they forgot it.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
Or if it was because they were curious, or if it was because Azura said they were gonna pay him or something.
Something like that. But I also remember the like when Hanako trained the Kuwaga beetle.
Oh yeah, and it was muscly.
Jesus Christ. I'm like, this is not gonna work. And then like, oh my god, he carried the team.
He knew how to lockpick for some reason.
So that was pretty good. The evil Sogoroku game.
Oh, dude, that's like, if anything, that's like a close second.
That was pretty good.
It's one of my favorites. And like, I knew the win when they set it up. They're like, is Olivia just really lucky? Let's just have let's have a really shitty board game to figure it out. And then I like how Kasumi pointed out when they're reading the spaces and noting how stupid some of them were. Hanako was thinking, Kasumi was thinking, like, did Hanako not think she's gonna have to do something?
Like, because I think all the peeing like a dog one, and then there wasn't it the one where they had to act out like what sex was, or was that a different one?
Okay, oh no, they had to do a dog pose, but I think the word for that, the dog pose and sex are similar. So like Hanako freaked out after that.
Goddamn. And then the fucking Sailor Moon pose. Jesus Christ.
Let's do her the kindness of watching her spirited peeing performance.
Oh, yeah.
It's a quote from that specific segment.
Like, I have that one on there, yeah.
When Olivia did the memory game trick and she got all the cards in one go, I was like, okay, there's no way she didn't fucking cheat, because the odds of that are like...
I don't even know.
They're so implausible. Mm. And then I was like, you have to be cheating for that, to be honest. Like, can it happen? Sure. Will it happen? Probably not.
It's like, look at the amount of suffering that occurred just because she tricked them. Damn. And then we got the shogi the definition, as we said. What else do I got? Oh yeah, when I think it was the germ one where it just had a thing of Hanako's cat scooting.
Oh yeah, the fecal germs.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Oh. Remember when the vice president said you can't let boys see your face without makeup?
Yeah. Because
then it's like boys walking out with their penis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Stuko president thought to herself, that analogy would mean that your face without makeup is equal to a penis.
I mean, it didn't look that great, I guess.
Well, when it was half and half, it was like a monster.
Yeah, according to the other...
Now that I think about it, they did kind of like... tease that happening in like the first few episodes, because they did a half and half with Hanako.
Are you talking about the because
you know how like the vice president only did half
I remember that one,
but then like before they did only half of Hanako's face with makeup. It's kind of
Okay, and then shit, like,
the first
holy
few,
fuck
the first few, I don't know if it's intentional or not, or if it's just coincidental, but it might be intentional in the sense, because if you think further on, the first few contents we're talking about Hanako having dismay about, you know, having a small chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the last few episodes, you know, they reference about her having a small chest again.
Just a little constant trouble for her, yeah.
It's like poetry or rhymes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then Hanako getting confused over the term virgin killer.
That one was more of a miss for me. Like, it's kind of funny, but it's more of a subtle laugh.
Like, to me, it was like, I wasn't, like, super laughing, but I was just like... I was impressed by how far she kept going with it. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
And then, like, she just hangs up saying, I'll do it. Like, it was more of a, that one was more of a softer line.
Yeah, that's fair.
It wasn't boring.
Oh, no. I don't think the show's ever really boring.
I think maybe part of it's because it's such a tight package, in the sense that it's a 12-episode show.
Mm.
But I don't think there's a boring minute that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always appreciate. That means like they went out of their way to fill their time correctly.
Okay. I think we're done with notable moments then. Getting into key directing. Yeah. So
obviously, you know, not just voice actors and actresses, but also regular actors and actresses. They changed their voice based on the scenario, but the reason why I denoted it in the key directing is, like, for certain situations, like, I feel like the actresses play up their voices more so than you would in other shows. Mm. Like, you can't... Okay, so remember the scene when they went to go harass the pee-drinking or the pee-licking teacher? Mm. And they all did their voices, like, hella crazy? Like, you wouldn't get that same level of quirky and goofiness in, like, Breaking Bad.
Well, yeah,
right? Like, you couldn't even imagine it, right? So, I think that is worth denoting here. Mm. It's like, for this kind of show, like, you can get away with that. And then, in fact, it improves the show.
Yeah. I think for me, the examples I'm thinking of is basically any time they say something like super serious. Oh yeah, they say something super seriously, the screen goes like a grayscale.
Yeah,
and
they
just say it really deeply. It's like,
but it's like what they're saying is absurd.
Yeah,
like the haves and have nots. That's an easy example, right? And then, you know, you're the one that told me this, but a lot of humor is based in subverting expectations. I think an easy example in this show is if you watch the opening of the show and the ending of the show, like, you know what they're going for, because the opening of the show is meant to, it shows the anime, all the main three girls singing.
Yeah.
Singing. But kind of
generic, like.
It portrays the show as like a generic slice of life girls anime, right?
Hey, girl, we're going to
obviously
have fun,
you know, what comes after the opening, the show. You watch the show. It's clearly anything but that. And then the ending shows the true nature of the show being metal and grungy.
Just screaming.
And they're all just yelling.
yelling at each other. Yeah, no, I think that was a really good touch. Like, I think the first time the ending came out, I'm like, is this right? I mean, okay, I guess, yeah, when you put it like after watching the show, it does fit the actual contents of the show more,
but no, it catches you off
guard. It really does. Yeah, no, because I like watching the intro again. It's like, it's so like they're just in a field. They're all wearing dresses that they never wear. There's like a scene of like Hanako crying, and it's like implying maybe something happened dramatically. It's like, oh no, they're gonna get through it because they're friends.
So, what did you think when you first watched the show?
So the very first episode, I forget. I don't remember if you told me it was gonna be like a comedy. Or anything.
Because I remember we watched Nichijou and it made me want to watch this. So I think. I mentioned it, so I kind of like hinted to you it's something similar.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, yeah, to me, my initial thing was I immediately started comparing it to Nichijou and
very similar, yeah.
Yeah, at least in the core concept.
I think Nichijou is more upfront with what it is, though.
Yeah.
I think Asobi is more about hiding it until it's too late.
Yeah. I feel like the first couple bits of the first episode are fairly tame, right? Because we're not really fully immersed.
Some of them are not that tame, but
I'm just trying to think the exact moment where I'm like, okay, this is it, and I'm on board. I think I mentioned to you at least the craziest part to me was the butt laser. Like, okay, not that the show wasn't super absurd before, but then I'm like adding that, it's like, okay, this is
insanity.
This is the height. Like, we can't go below this.
We're not gonna go any better than this.
Actually, that just reminded me of saying laser. I'm like, oh yeah, the Star Wars. I guess we mentioned the Star Wars parody.
Yeah, we did.
But like
the Star Wars torture scene.
Well, that's just like, Kasumi, I thought you fucking edited that out. She's like, oh shit. Good stuff.
The only way the past club stopped bothering the Stuko presidents or the Stuko was they said they'd approve their terrible movie.
It's like, just please, just
leave us alone.
Go away. Never talk to me or my son again. But yeah, no, I think yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, as you say, Nichijou's a lot more upfront with being the absurd thing.
I'm not saying either is right or wrong.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're both good in their own ways.
I'll get into like which one I prefer, but it's still a solid package overall.
Yeah.
So, Spring Expectations. Oh, the artwork, which we've kind of talked about.
With... Yeah, it's like... So, the artwork is simple.
Yeah,
I mean, I know simple, it's like... Yeah. I already put it in FX, but I do want to put it here. I do believe it. It's worth mentioning here. It's simple and it's like a light pastel color. Yeah. So it's meant to be like lighthearted, but it's not meant to be like over the top. But then when it's time to fully distinguish those over the top moments, you know, like, you know, when they animate Hanako's teeth, it becomes super defined. And it's a huge juxtaposition. So just further, it's a fun visual. It's a fun visual trick.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
Like when Azura kissed Kasumi, you know, and then like Hanako went straight into Witch Hunter mode. I don't get that song they were singing, but I understand.
Oh no, I don't get
it. I don't know what it's from, but I understand the context.
I swear I've heard it somewhere before, though. I swear I have, but like, I don't know. Maybe getting into the effects.
So, like, you know, any other comedy, timing is everything. So, the artwork, you know, it matches when it needs to be. The voice actresses change when it's appropriate. Another thing that's important to comedy is the sound effects. So, something that I do want to point out for the sound effects is, like, you know, the little jingle when they're, like, sort of kind of...
Yeah, I wanted to mention that one.
Yeah, that one's iconic, and I think it's a good way to, like, kind of reset...
Yeah,
you were. I thought that was actually really smart.
I actually think it'd be really good to use in like, I don't know, just normal videos. I just really like it.
Yeah. It's a nice sound.
Yeah,
we should make that our intro sound.
the beginning, we just start off with, and then what happened?
And then it has that little jingle. You know what I'm talking about?
Or maybe between segments
when they say like Asobe Asobase.
Yeah.
Oh, in between. Oh, that's too much work though. You'd have to like know where the timestamps for each one are.
I'd have to actually. Listen to the up. I can't do that anymore.
You're a working man.
I am. No.
Talk about it. Listen to it. Nah.
Nah. Fuck that. Anyway.
Others can listen. Others should listen to it.
Yeah.
God forbid we listen to
all five of you guys. Come on.
All our adoring fans across the world.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And then getting to the music. I mean, I. Yeah, we got the opening and intro.
It's not necessarily a music heavy show. It's just I wanted to point out that opening and ending.
No, honestly, I think the opening got stuck in my head a couple times where I'm like, fucking get out of here. Like fuck.
I do want to point out a notable moment we failed to mention is they had the drawing war game, like everyone played as a kid. And then, you know, that little shit bean
that Maeda drew.
It's like I thought it was a fun reference that they drew it into the final ending of that episode and of the series. So I thought that was really, they're on point with their humor. With their timing.
I think this was which game was it? I just wrote down, I think it was Hanako thinking to herself, I just want to hear the other girl say poop.
Oh yeah.
It's like fuck. Okay, then it's. Oh, and then when they're trying to convince the vice president to show their movie, and then Hanako brings Maeda. He's like, "I'm just gonna." He's here to grovel for me. Like fucking hell.
Brought someone to beg for you. Oh, another effects thing I wanted to mention is like, I think the interlacing of a live shot images.
Oh yeah.
Like it's funny because like, look, that's not gonna work for every show. In fact, it's not gonna work for most shows. Like, can you imagine you're watching, let's say, Attack on Titan, and then for some reason you just get a live cut of an object, like let's say a sword, just in a random white room? Like that'd be kind of weird, right? But I think for this specific show, like for example, the rat stuck in the concrete wall cookies. Like, I think it's. It's a visual change.
Or the tag that they played with the occult girl when they took the
poop thing.
Oh my god! Yeah. And then oh my god, it was gone. Oh no! But then it was
someone took it away because it looked like trash, which it was.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff kind of fits in like more with comedies. I'm thinking like SpongeBob's done it a couple times. I think.
Oh yeah.
Or like when they just cut to, I think it was Tom Kenny in the shower and the.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Stuff and more in the music, like obviously they know to play during music when they need to, kind of just to emphasize, like when they have grayscale on the background scenes. You know what I mean? And it's not even just the stereotypical 2000s like gong noise or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have like their own custom noises, which I appreciate. But yeah, I think that's all for effects. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time to start wrapping it up into closing thoughts.
All right, question I want to pose to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the problem with, like, comedy sometimes is that, you know, it's going to be what you find in humor is probably going to be strongly based on where you grew up.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. You kind of see where I'm going with
this, I think
right?
Yeah.
So the main question I want to pose to you here is, like, is this one of those shows that could cross that that boundaries between Japanese and culture to American? You know,
I do think so because I feel like a lot of the comedy that comes from it, I don't think is super regional.
Yeah, I was kind of worried it was because like they super were going to play
national. Yeah,
they were going to play Japanese games. Yeah, into any of them. That's like so complex. That's never immediately understand.
Yeah, and it's never the games themselves are never really the actual point of the show. They're just kind of vehicles. Showcase the humor.
Exactly. And the only Japanese game I saw that was kind of like, oh, I feel like this is kind of a cultural barrier is the one when it's like Issei no Sei, and I think like the total can't be 6 or something.
Oh, I don't remember what that one was.
It's like
at all.
The thumb one, pointing fingers. But point is, it's just like.
I don't remember it, sorry. No.
But even then, like, I think I understood the rules of the game, but it's not so much. There's never a segment there where it's like, oh, I need to Google this because I don't understand the cultural context.
Oh, but you know what they did play? They did play Yukio, though. Basically, I forgot the blue eyed Yankee, the blue eyes white Yankee. Well,
yeah, blue eyes white Yankee. Yeah,
fucking hell. God damn, how did I forget that one? That's I gotta leave with blue that eyes, one. Once again, Hanako's boss, she's the boss,
quote unquote, best girl. As a crackhead,
I guess so. Hey, why not? So I guess closing thoughts for me, and I you know, we did do Nichijo, and I think I said it. At the end of Nichijo, that it was like my new favorite anime.
Yeah.
And so I think after watching this, to me, I think at the end of the day, I still prefer Nichijo.
Fair.
But I think the way I described this to my sister Bianca, this is like a side grade to Nichijou. You know, like in a video game,
yeah.
You know, where
it's a horizontal upgrade.
Yes, where it's very different in its own right, but it's still very viable, very good. This is a very fucking good show. Very funny.
I think one of the core differences between Nichijou and Asobi is I think Nichijou has more of a narrative and can be actually more heartwarming.
Yeah, definitely.
Than Asobi. But I think what Asobi, you know, has different is like it's a fucking crackhead show.
Because I think Nichijou also has like crazy stupid moments. For but sure. I feel like the characters themselves are never really. They're still very wholesome for the most part.
They're never so like awful.
You know, Mio is just trying her best to do whatever.
Even fucking Ryuko. Nano.
Yeah,
she's a little android.
She's a normal girl. She's probably the most. Yeah, she's like probably one of the most wholesome one. But this trio they're all kind of terrible people, and that's kind of fun. That's sometimes
Sunny in Philadelphia.
I was about to say it's kind of like. Kind of like that, where it's like it's just kind of fun to watch terrible people suffer. Wait, hold on. There's four of them. Five. We need five roles because if you include,
I was just gonna say pick whatever matches, but not.
I can't do it.
So okay, follow up question. Okay. You know, as always with when we ask the anime, I feel like this question is becoming less and less prevalent nowadays as anime becomes more mainstream. But the point I'm trying to make here is, do you think, in a two-part question, is this a show that regular anime viewers can watch, and would they enjoy it, or do you think those who don't even watch anime, like, let's say someone's never seen anime, is this a show that you could recommend them to watch?
Okay, I feel like this is always kind of hard for, I think if you do like anime, I'm sure, if you're already kind of into the culture of, like, how crazy anime can be and stuff, then I think sure. But then when it gets into like the non-anime viewers, I don't know.
I don't think this is one of those shows.
I think it's a little too.
It's like
because some people don't like it when it's too crazy and zany.
Too crazy
and
too vulgar. Like we get a laugh of the teacher being perverted and testing the water if it's urine or not and being disappointed. Like if you lied to me. Just us saying that already sounds wrong, like any other context, but, you know, kind of gets the pass for, oh, it's silliness in anime. Like,
it's okay.
But I don't know if, like, a regular viewer.
Yeah, I think, like, your average, like, Western person, like, who's not really into a lot of Japanese media, or not to say that I think if. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say Japanese media. It's like, oh, if you're into, like, classical, like, I don't know, Rokugan, I don't even know what the fuck that word means. What am I saying? But, okay, you know what I mean, though. Like, if you're...
This is definitely towards a younger crowd.
Yeah, I think definitely so. But, yeah, probably not for your average person. But I think if you're already into...
Yeah, I think if you're... You don't even have to be seasoned. You could be, like, a casual anime fan.
Yeah.
And I think you get more enjoyment of it if you are a casual anime fan because of the whole subverting expectations.
Yeah,
because
you've seen the tropes of high school... Or middle school.
In this case. Not that it matters.
To me, the fact that they're even younger, some of these jokes were like, oh, man.
Should you be saying
shit.
This?
Shit. Oh, hey, you know?
Like Hanko saying everyone's
slut. Everyone's
sluts.
A fucking slut. No one. Oh, don't they add like reverb or whatever to her voice?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no,
oh.
They censor.
Yeah.
But she says it a lot.
Good stuff.
No, dude. Oh. Thoughts for the next spot. Kind of want to do a K-drama maybe, but.
Oh, my. Oh,
there's
okay.
A K-drama called Backstreet Rookie.
I'm sure
it's based on a webtoon. But, like, I thought the first few episodes were really good because it was so different.
Okay.
Because it had, like, explicits in it. And it's not just, oh, they said a bad word. No, it's kind of like the content was more, like, mature. And then how they portrayed, like, it was a little more, like, gangsterish. Like, kind of like how people would be in the streets, realistic. And I thought it was cool. But I was watching the final episodes, and I did enjoy the story. But I remember thinking, like, what the hell? It's kind of, like, became watered down. And it's because apparently people were complaining about it. That they had to lower the vulgarity of the content. I was like, that's fucking lame.
Damn,
this show was special, and then they just made it basic.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting.
That was a sidebar there, but...
What was it?
I mean, I'm not saying we should do that one, but
okay,
it's
called
Backstreet Rookie.
I'll take it in, but yeah, any of your final thoughts?
Well, I think I agree with your estimate that this... I think for just even, like, casual anime fans, this is something you can enjoy, especially because it takes advantage of, like, how characters are stereotypically drawn. You know, like, oh, the American character must not speak English. I must speak English. An English Japanese name. Yeah, English name too. Oh, look at the artwork. It's so cutesy and it's pastel and bright. So it's probably just, you know, regular slice of life. Like JK, they say a lot of vulgar words and they have a repurposed sex doll to speak in an English.
I forgot that it was. Can't do
that. Yeah.
Hanako's grandpa, you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Say no, what? No, grandpa.
Fucking hell.
No, no, papa. But, I think it's hilarious. I think it speaks to the level of the humor that it crosses the cultural boundary of Japanese to English. Like, even if your humor is mostly Western, I still think as long as you've seen a few anime and you appreciate it, then you could enjoy this show. So it's not like, because sometimes Japanese humor could be like so specific for culture, which why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Right?
Why wouldn't it be? Why should they care about opinions outside of their country? That's not who they're. I'm assuming most studios don't have make their goal.
For, yeah.
That's broadcast. Because, like, you know, you've seen it before, but a lot of Japanese humor is like wordplay.
Yeah.
If you don't know speak Japanese, how do you get the Japanese?
Either that or maybe the translator actually put in work to make it work in English.
Try to, at least, right?
Well, but still never going to be one-to-one.
But no, I think that's kind of the beauty of the show, is it crosses that cultural boundary, and it's funny for, as long as you have subtitles that you can understand, you know, you'll probably be able to enjoy this.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the humor just comes from them absurdity, but also just them trying to come of age. And I think some things are just kind of universal.
I think it's endearing in the sense that, like, it's just three friends doing crazy bullshit. Yeah. Like, you know, hopefully everyone has a time in their life when they're spending time with people that makes them do or say crazy bullshit.
Okay. Just like this podcast.
Exactly. Ooh. All right, folks. RIP all those science projects that I never got to rewatch. RIP.
Fucking hell.
Lost the rap video. Yeah. I'm really sad about the fucking pesticide video.
Oh my god, I put my heart and soul into that thing.
Dude, everyone did have lame ass.
I know, everyone got a PowerPoint.
PowerPoints. We got two extra points.
We smashed
two
that
extra
shit.
Points.
That's crazy.
All right, boys and girls, you know how it is. We're not a weekly podcast, but we sure pretend to be. See you on the next one.
See ya.